really like to extend my appreciation to the court here, Circuit and District, for hosting us and for being so cooperative in all the arrangements arranging to have our sitting here. And secondly, I'd like to turn it over to Judge Hughes for a motion.
I have an admission this morning. This is the time of year that some of the judges, clerks, traditionally depart, and they usually seek admission to our court on that event. And I guess one of my clerks decided to do it in Chicago because before he came to clerk for me, he lived in Chicago and worked here for a little while. He's been a great clerk. I'm going to miss him, but I know that he's going to have a great career wherever he chooses to go, and I look forward to following his career and hopefully seeing him back before the court someday. So I move the admission of Michael Liu, who is a member of the bar and is in good standing with the highest court of Illinois. I have knowledge of his credentials and am satisfied that he possesses the necessary qualifications.
Yep, sounds good to me.
We're delighted to grant the motion.
Put your right hand. Do solemnly swear that you will comport yourself as an attorney and counselor of this court, uprightly and according to law, and that you will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
I do.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank you. All right. First case this morning is 17-2364 in Ray Patterson. Mr. Trask, whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. In finding the claimed invention unpatentable, the Board misconstrued a key claim phrase affecting every one of the pending claims. The Board's construction was wrong for several reasons.
Well, why don't you tell us what the Board's construction was, what term we're talking about?
Sure. So the term at issue here is the executable extension interacts with the content to provide functionality related to the content. And this is in the context of e-book readers, Your Honor. The Board's construction ignored the express language of the claims, instead plucking out a single word and construing it out of context.
And they construed interacts to...
That's right. The
to
Board...
Mutual
influence. So the Board, instead of examining the entire claim phrase that I just recited, the Board plucked out the word interacts and construed interacts according to a dictionary to mean mutual influence and to cover extensions that are predetermined and distinct from the content displayed on the e-book reader.
Okay. Let me just... cut to the chase, at least from my perspective, obviously, which is that even if we agree with you, one, it's not clear to me what construction you're proposing, and two, it's even less clear as to why, under some different construction you're proposing, the result wouldn't even be, in fact, easier rather than harder in on anticipation.
Okay, so I'll address both of those, Your Honor. So the procedural posture here is relevant to the question you just asked. And the reason that's the case is because claim construction was not addressed by the parties below. Okay, at the patent office, at the agency, the parties disputed whether or not the prior art Ho reference disclosed this particular claim limitation. They did not engage in the exercise of claim construction as to the word interacts or as to that phrase as a whole. And it wasn't until the Board's decision that this issue of claim construction was first raised. So Google does have a construction that's been proposed in its briefs here. That construction is that the functionality of the extension is dependent on the content of the ebook. That's found, for example, at Google's brief at page 19. And under that
seems quite broad. So you want to give us a little information why the anticipatory reference would not read on this at least as easily as it read on the Board's arguably incorrect construction?
Sure. So the key element of this. Let me back up. The claim phrase at issue here has two important pieces of information kind of baked into it. The first is it tells us what the interaction occurs between, right? So it's the executable extension that interacts with the displayed content of the ebook. And then it also tells us what's the consequence of that interaction, which is that the extension provides functionality related to the content. Okay, so Google's construction is simply, it's restating what I think the claim phrase itself says. So I think here we would be satisfied if the court were either to construe the term according to the construction I just mentioned or just adopt the plain language of the claim itself. I think they both say the same thing. Either way.
You would agree that even if we agreed with you up till that point, at a minimum, we would have to send it back to the board to analyze Ho in connection with this new construction, right?
I think that's right. I think that's right.
A remand would. Why would you have to do that? Your construction seems broader than the PTO's. If the PTO is a factual matter, found that Ho anticipated under a narrower construction, why would we send it back for them to decide whether it likewise anticipates under a broader construction?
Well, I disagree, Judge Moore, that it's a broader construction. So the board's construction is mutual influence. So the extension must influence the displayed content, and the content must influence the extension. The plain language of the claims don't require that kind of two-way interaction. What they require is that the functionality depend on the content by virtue of the interaction between the two.
I really don't understand, because it seems to me that your argument is that there shouldn't be two-way, one way is sufficient. That's what I understand your argument to be. It doesn't have to be two-way, one way is sufficient. That is necessarily broader than the PTO's construction in the exact same dimension. It's not broader and different. It's
right. Right. So, the PTO's construction also reads on in the board's own opinion that they read their construction on extensions that are predetermined and distinct from the displayed content, which suggests that I think that's ultimately.
So is that why yours may be? You're not looking at whether broader or not, but you're saying your construction is deeper with respect to what the interaction is. That you think your construction is narrower because it has to depend on the content, and you think that's kind of a very narrowing concept because you think Ho is really based only on predetermined. I'm really just trying to understand.
Yeah, I think that's right, Chief Judge Prost. So what Ho discloses is an annotation that is predetermined and distinct. It's the passage cited by the board is playing of an MP3 file. That MP3 file would provide the same functionality, the audio snippet, regardless of what content is displayed on the page. Google's construction requires an interaction.
But it's not just automatic necessarily. It is, at least the part of Ho that I have says, there's one embodiment that when you get to the portion of the text that has an accompanying audio file, it automatically plays it. There's another one where it alerts that to the reader, and the reader can determine whether or not to play it. So it is a little bit more active in determining whether or not it's played.
Well, right, Judge Hughes. So the question is whether the annotation in Ho is using the content displayed on the ebook as an input to inform the functionality of that annotation, right? What Ho is disclosing is an MP3 file that's played irrespective of what content is shown on the page, right? So whether it's triggered automatically or
irrespective of the content, it's specifically tied to the content.
Well, it's tied to a location, which is what's disclosed in Ho. It's not tied to the particular content. Okay, so it doesn't use, unlike all of the examples in the specification of the application, Ho itself doesn't disclose that the MP3 file somehow takes into account the content on the page in determining the functionality of that annotation.
So you're saying that there's no relationship to the content of the page and the annotation in Ho?
Well, there may be a relationship.
That seems really unlikely. I mean, if you have an ebook reader about, you know, if it's a theory of classical music and they're discussing Beethoven, they're not going to attach an audio file that plays the Sex Pistols.
Right. So I think that point.
So it's tied to the content. You're going to get a Beethoven.
It may be related to the content. I think that's right. But
how do yours operate differently from that?
So I think this points to kind of one of the problems with the board's construction, which is that they read this disputed term as the executable extension provides functionality related to the content, right? They kind of edited out the interacts portion. So if it were true that this claim limitation simply recited the extension provides functionality related to the content, then I agree with you, Judge Hughes, that is what Ho seems to be talking about. You can provide an MP3 file that repeats some of the, you know, that it's a file that
well,
kind
I
of.
I still don't understand how this helps you. I mean, that's still an interaction between the content and the file. It may be that you think you've invented some kind of more dynamic interaction, but I don't see any kind of specific definition of that in the claim language, and aren't we under a BRI standard here anyway?
And you've disavowed sort of the dynamically stuff, right? You're saying, no, we're not arguing the dynamic stuff.
Well, yeah, right. So there's some discussion as to whether the claim requires dynamically reading. I think it's the reading that we were making the point that the extension doesn't necessarily have to read the content. It just needs to interact with the content. But this is the BRI standard. And I think here, because of the claim language itself that I just explained, as well as the consistent disclosure in the specification, although there is no express definition of this claim term in the application, the meaning of the term is understood by virtue of the consistent disclosure of the specification. And all five of the examples that Google points to in its brief, the extension interacts with the content by taking the content that's displayed on the page and providing functionality based upon that content. If I can provide an analogy, I'm
baffled as to how Ho doesn't show precisely that once you get rid of the dynamically doing it. I understand if you think you've invented something where you can add on a extension to a textbook that doesn't have any coding or whatsoever, and it can do Google searches, for instance, and suggest add-ons, then that's one thing, but that's a very specific definition of interaction. If all we're talking about is you're reading along in the text and the extension recognizes a point in the text where it can provide additional information and offers that information, that's exactly what Ho does.
So if I can provide an analogy that I think helps distinguish between what's disclosed in Ho and what's claimed in the application. So if you picture a birthday card, right, and there's a message inside that says happy birthday, let's say there's a chip in that card, and that chip is programmed so that when the card is opened, the song Happy Birthday, a predetermined audio clip of the song Happy Birthday is played. Now let's say you erase the words Happy Birthday and you wrote in Merry Christmas instead, so the content of the card has changed. That chip that I just described, when that card is opened, will still play the predetermined audio clip of the song Happy Birthday because it's not programmed to interact with the content.
And that's Ho in your view.
That's Ho. If the chip instead...
And why, yeah, what is your... So
right.
How does your claim work?
So if the chip instead were programmed to interact with the content in order to provide functionality related to the content, that chip would recognize when the card is opened that the displayed content of the card now says Merry Christmas. And the chip would instead, for example, play a Christmas carol, not the song Happy Birthday, because it's interacting with the content to provide functionality related to the content. So that's more analogous to what's claimed here.
It seems like you're reading into interacting some kind of requirement that the add-on do some kind of interpretive step.
I think that's a fair reading, Your Honor. There's functionality disclosed in the specification involving optical care recognition, other means by which...
That sounds an awful lot like the dynamic interaction that I thought you just said you weren't arguing.
No, I think it's not quite clear to me what everyone means by the word dynamic.
Interactions don't always have to be interpretive, do they?
Well, I think the interaction here, as shown in all the examples of the specification, requires that the extension take the displayed content on the page and use it as an input to inform the functionality of the...
Are you therefore suggesting that the word interacting has to be interpreted different from its plain meaning? Are you suggesting that the specification in this case acts as a dictionary and that the word interacting, to the extent it requires this dynamic and changing application that you've been discussing with Judge Hughes, that the specification requires that even if the plain meaning of the word would not?
Well, so I think there's a number of dictionary definitions cited here, and I think it's plain from those various definitions that there is no single plain meaning of the word interacts. It can mean different things in different contexts. So I think the context here that's appropriate is the one that's informed by the claim language and the specification. So there's no express...
Why would it be the broadest reasonable one informed by the claim language and the spec? And what would be wrong with a broad and one-way type interpretation, since this is BRI we're talking about? Why would we give it the narrowest one, the one that comports sort of the most closely to the examples in the spec, even though there's no limiting language in the spec suggesting that the word is limited to the examples in the spec?
Well, I think in part, Your Honor, because interacts is part of a larger claim phrase that informs its meaning. So the interaction doesn't occur in the abstract. It occurs between the extension and the content in order to provide functionality related to the content. That phrase tells you what the interaction involves what it results in.
Right, but you've tried to infuse into it some sort of dynamic changing functionality that if the content changes, the extension is going to change. I don't see that in the claim. I don't know why the simple example doesn't satisfy a broad interpretation of this claim.
Right. I think it ultimately boils down to the limitations in the claim and then the consistent disclosure of the specification, which under this court's Smith International case and the Abbott Diabetes cases all show that you can define a term by implication through consistent disclosure in the specification.
Why don't we let you sit down, keep your rebuttal time, and let's hear from the other side. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning. May it please the court. I believe the central issue in this appeal does center around the claim construction issue surrounding the
interact. Can I just ask you a sort of technical question here? And I would have, if we had more time, asked Mr. Trask perhaps to respond to. Was there an opportunity to amend it? Was there discussion? Because it seems like maybe that's the issue. I mean, maybe we just needed to redraft or amend the claim language to account for what may well be a difference here with prior art. Do you know the history of this examination and whether there was discussion of amendments, et cetera?
Yeah, and in fact, the claims were initially rejected as anticipated by the Ho reference, and Patterson amended the claims to include this interact limitation to overcome the Ho reference, and the examiner found that amendment wasn't specific enough to overcome Ho as anticipation because they construe that term broadly as requiring mutual influence. Now, Patterson this is still an application. They could file a continuation and they could still amend their claims.
Well, do you have any guidance here? Maybe this is a little bit of an unfair question, but how, if you understand the distinction Mr. Trask is drawing between Ho and what he argues his claim is about, what words would be necessary he says this is sufficient to provide one under BRI, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But what would you suggest would have to be stated in the claim in order to cover his point?
I think Patterson actually has quite a few options that they could use to narrow their claims to potentially overcome Ho.
Would they have to use the word dynamically? I mean, how would you describe what we're
talking
about?
That would be one option. They could try and use this reading. They also have even more specific examples, the five they point to in their brief, where they talk about optically recognizing text, deciphering displayed musical references, reading displayed chemistry content, examining the text of a novel. So they have very specific, written description support where they could amend the claims to recite those very specific claim limitations.
Let me ask you, if we're assuming we all agree we're in BRI territory, why, we use functionality and we complain we don't really know what this means. It's ambiguous and therefore under BRI it's broad. Seems to me any words you're going to use in the claim, you could make the same argument. So why, and Judge Moore said, did you redefine or define it? Why is not the stuff in the specification sufficient to give clarity that the terms in the claim really mean what Mr. Trask is telling us they mean?
Well, there's a few reasons. First of all, the specification doesn't define the term interact as being limited to, these five specific embodiments or any type of dynamically reading. It's a very broad term. The specification uses it broadly to discuss these different submodules interacting with one another. And then, as the board found, if you look at just plain dictionary meanings, interact is a very broad term that doesn't require this dynamically reading.
Well, let me just stop you there. Sorry to interrupt. But what sort of was weird to me in this case is that, in a way, you could almost read the board to say they were adopting plain meaning, but they didn't. They came up with this construction. Is it mutual?
Mutual influence.
That's a little odd, don't you think? I mean,
well, as Judge Moore pointed out, an even broader construction would be just a one-way influence where the extension is being influenced.
Well, is it your view that the plain and ordinary meaning is mutual? includes the board's, is the board's construction? Are you defending that here today?
I think the board's construction is reasonable based on what
it. No, but you don't, it's not your job to choose a reasonable construction. It's actually the board's job to choose the broadest reasonable construction. Do you think this is the broadest reasonable construction? I don't.
Well, I would say the board was responding to Patterson's argument.
And by the way, would you consider that colloquy to be an interaction? You didn't respond right away, but it was nonetheless an interaction, wasn't it?
We are certainly interacting with one another. I agree with that for sure. So I would say when the board made that construction, they were faced with Patterson's argument in their appeal brief.
No, they weren't faced with arguments. They made it sua sponte. They did not solicit briefing from either or from Patterson, is my understanding, about the meaning of the word. Is that correct?
That's true. There was no formal.
So the board did it sua sponte. Their entire analysis amounts to one paragraph on page 5 of the appendix. Will you pull it open for me?
Certainly.
So they cite a dictionary, correct? An electrical engineering dictionary. Okay, thanks.
Correct, yep.
And then they cite a case, Quozo. Did you catch the fact that that happened to be the dissent that they're citing and not the majority? Because following a dissent, a Federal Circuit dissent as precedent that helps inform, that's the only two things they cite for their sua sponte interpretation of a word is a dissent, which they never let on that it's a dissent, and a dictionary that they found when the parties had no opportunity to present extrinsic evidence on this. Is that about the right level of process that occurred here?
Well, I think if you look at the previous page, that first of all, they went through four steps here. They first, on page 4, they said, first of all, the specification does not define the term interact.
Okay, then that second. Tells us very little.
Yeah, what's, excuse me?
That doesn't tell us what interact means. It just says what it doesn't.
Exactly, exactly. And then they go on to, they recite, they discuss paragraph 102 of the specification where it discusses interact and these subsystems that are interacting one another. It's just a broad disclosure of interactions. Doesn't require this dynamically reading. Three, then they address paragraph 35 of the specification. And the reason they do this, so they address specifically paragraph 35, because if you look at the briefing to the board, Patterson addressed this argument very briefly. It was, you know, basically one page long. They cited to just this one example in paragraph 35 and said Ho doesn't interact because it doesn't like read, therefore it doesn't interact. So I think the board's analysis is relatively concise because they were responding specifically to the arguments that Patterson raised in their appeal brief and the reply brief to the board. And then they went on to say that, you know, the specification is not so limited. And then in addition, they cited to these dictionary definitions and in this dissent, which
These dictionary definitions.
I'm sorry, excuse me, one dictionary definition and this dissent, which, you know, this is just further support. We're not asking for any deference. This isn't like extrinsic, you know, evidence under Teva that requires deference. These are just two additional citations that support the board's determination that the interact limitation is not limited as Patterson argued that it was in their briefing to the board.
So what do I do if I believe that this construction is wrong because it requires two-way? I mean, when I yell at my children, there is no doubt we've had an interaction. They're smart enough to stand there silently when it happens. That's one way, right? But it's still an interaction.
Yeah.
So my problem is I actually think, and especially in BRI land when we're talking plain meaning, I don't think this is the plain meaning of the word. I really don't. And the PTO hasn't convinced me with its one dictionary and its cite to a dissent.
Yeah.
So what happens then? I'm not sure what the exactly right construction is, but I feel
sure. One would just be like, you know, you could say this construction is too narrow. It should be even broader. But I think the end result, as you pointed out, was if it's a one-way test, it's even broader. There's going to be no difference here. So it's almost like it's a harmless error because if you anticipate under this two-way, you know, narrower construction, you're certainly going to anticipate under a broader one-way construction. And I think as you all pointed out, Ho does disclose, you know, playing an audio file related to the displayed content and, you know, they're backing away that the claims require any type of dynamically reading. And certainly they say it encompasses those five embodiments. But if you look at the rest of the specification, Patterson actually discloses annotating audio files and having them play automatically just like the Ho reference does. So I don't think there's any real point to sending it back. If there's no further questions, I'm happy to address additional questions on claim construction. We didn't really get into the some of the other issues. But if there's no further questions, I'll yield the rest of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So a couple of brief points in rebuttal. First of all, I think one of the problems.
Let me just ask you quickly. Yeah,
yes.
I don't want to use all of your time, but do you agree that arguably it's quite likely that you could find an amendment to the amend the claim language to really more clearly identify what you're getting at, and then we would proceed without all this stuff?
So I mean, it's true that if this case were remanded, we could amend the claims. That's part of patent prosecution.
Do you need a remand? Can't you just file continuation?
We could restart the process and file other applications. That's true, Your Honor.
I don't think because then you don't get to backdate it. I mean, is there a downside of this for Google?
Well, this is part of a larger portfolio where there are a number of applications pending, claiming related but different subject matter. So Google's view is that the right place to correct this error is here in this case, in this appeal. The part of the problem here is that there was no record below developing this claim construction argument.
Can I just clarify? It doesn't seem to me like your problem is with the two-way versus one-way aspect of the claim construction, is it?
That's part of the problem, but a big part of the problem as well is the fact...
Then explain to me how if we decided that it only required a one-way interaction, how Ho still wouldn't anticipate.
Because Ho doesn't disclose interaction in two or one ways. It is predetermined and distinct
content. See, that's what I'm asking about. I don't think you answered my first question, at least the way I thought you were going to answer it, which is your problem with interaction is that you think it has some kind of qualitative content-based requirement to programs talking to each other, that there has to be some substance to that. So it doesn't matter if it's two or one way talking to each other, there has to be some further content-based.
Right. In other words, I think...
Wait, so just let me clarify. That means that if we thought that interaction could be read more broadly to include just one way, that still doesn't get you all the way there. You have to have us agree to impose some kind of content-based restriction on the interaction.
I think if I'm understanding Your Honor's question, one of the big problems with the board's construction is that it expressly includes extensions that are predetermined and distinct from the content. And that was
the
hook.
But you keep saying that that's not an interaction. That is an interaction. It's just not based upon interpretation or content or the like.
I don't think it's an interaction as the claims describe it and as the specification illustrates. When Google made this claim amendment, it was done for purposes of distinguishing Ho. This is at appendix page 1421.
Is there anything in your, I'm not going to take up any more of your time.
Final thought.
Okay. Well, thank you, Your Honors. We would just ask that that the court vacate the decision, whether or not the court chooses to construe this claim limitation, vacate and remand for further proceedings consistent with our arguments. Thank you.
Thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is adjourned.